City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We are talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Alexander Benz.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
The Windy City Queercast, show number 334. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Alexandra Billings.
You're who?
I was eating a cracker.
Who are you?
I'm Alexandra Billings.
I've forgotten who the hell you are. I haven't talked to you in
so long.
No,
that's not very nice. Don't say that. Can you hear me munching on my
Fruit
cracker?
Loops? Apple Jacks?
No,
what are you eating?
Cracker.
Ritz cracker?
Cracker. How many times do I have to say cracker?
Mm.
Can you hear me crunching? Seriously,
you hardly know her.
Can you?
Cracker? Hardly know her.
All right. You're not going to answer me, so I'm just going to continue eating and pretend
you can hear you. It's lovely.
Oh, you can?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait.
It's very good. The people who are listening to you through earbuds are going to hate you. But I love
you. Earbuds, don't ever say earbuds to me again.
Oh, my dear friend. Hello, L.A.
How are you, honey?
I think it's what do you guys do in L.A. for the summer? You just go into a cave because it's so hot and it's summer all the time, so.
No, there is no summer. It's just always 72 and gorgeous. So there really is no summer. It's just. Now, last week we had 3 days maybe of rain and everyone panicked. Everyone was like, rain? What the hell? And then Noah came in the ark and everybody just freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so that's all we have. We just have summer. We don't have anything else. It's fabulous.
Yeah. Well, we barely had summer this entire year. So I think, you know, spending a little time in LA would have been good.
Yeah.
That's why I had to go over to Europe and go to a Greek island.
You went to the Greek islands. You're a jet setter.
I'm trying to be a bit of a jet setter these days. It's happening, you know. Lincoln Center, Greece, D.C., Helen Mirren and I alone on a street. So many things.
Were you hooking?
Was I hooking?
No. Or was she hooking?
Hey, if she was, I would have paid whatever it was.
I would have too. Listen, I would fuck her blue. I feel no shame in saying that. I must tell you, I think she's hot.
She is hot.
She's
hot in person too.
I'd do her.
She's very hot.
I'm going to do Helen Mirren. That's going to be the title of my biography. I'm going to do Helen Mirren. That's going to be my title.
Oh, well.
Right now, sitting here.
You're going to have to rip that from me. Actually, mine, I hope my autobiography says, I did Helen Mirren. That would be not my biography, but my autobiography.
That would be really good.
Hey, so.
Hey!
What is
hey! Hey!
What is the atmosphere out there in California, home of huge deficit with what's going on in the world today? I mean, you all, I've been really wanting to talk to you because not only with the economy and the massive job loss, but, you know, your land of Proposition 8, Obama's making promises. What the hell is the political climate out there? Or is everybody just getting Botoxed and has no brains? What's going on?
A and B.
Yep, both.
No one really – look, the thing about Californians is that, you know, we just don't sweat shit. I mean, we just figure – listen, as long as I have my sushi and my surfboard and an occasional Rob Lowe film, everything's fine. Like, nobody's really sweating anything right now. Everything's kind of like – and there's no money to do anything. I mean, there's no money. And the governor keeps slashing, you know, all these social programs and cutting money to universities and taking money, and there's no money. And no one really seems to like be bothered, really, because, quite frankly, it's 72 degrees and beautiful all the time.
So it's a Stepford environment. So nobody – you're not feeling like the – You're not feeling the desperation of knowing so many people who can't find a job or have lost their job?
Well, I mean, I'll be honest with you. You know, I teach with the Steppenwolf out here in California, and when we first started putting classes together, we noticed that, like, oh my God, attendance is kind of down. And then we just cut the classes, made them a little less expensive, and everybody paid. Now, is everybody like thrilled to death that people aren't working? No, of course not. But there's a resilience to these people. I actually am not sort of like trying to intimate that there's a bunch of airheads out here. I mean, that's true. But the bulk of the population, I think, is pretty resilient. People tend to think that, like, Californians are sort of like namby-pamby, but really, you know, these guys are, you know, we're Westerners, for heaven's sake. We're riding the range. And yeah. I think that's probably true all over America. I mean, all of us are kind of going, you know, this is awful and it's a nightmare and my best friend is out of work, but it's not going to last forever. So we just got to hang on. That's really the only choice.
What are you feeling in the GLBT community? I mean, is there a sense of urgency still out there? I mean, as we hear Obama making all these enormous promises in the past week of things he's going to do and how things are going to change, and yet it's so hard not to, every time he talks and it's around gay issues, to remember that the day he was voted into office, Proposition 8 was upheld.
Yeah, let's be very clear about the President of the United States. The President of the United States does not believe in gay marriage. He has made that very clear. He's said that many, many, many times. So we need to know that. He is not behind us. So we need to understand that. This whole Obama magic that everybody seems to still be under is mystifying to me. Now, I like the guy. I think he's a good president, and I don't think he's going to be a great president, but I think he's a very good president, and I like him. But he is not for us. What he's for is equal rights under the law. He is not, and I know they sound like the same thing, but they're not. They're two very different issues. Equal rights under the law and gay rights link up, but they are not the same thing. So
is the first not enough? Equal rights under the law not enough?
No, it's not. No, it's absolutely not. Because what he wants is civil partnerships. That's what he wants. Mm-hmm. Civil unions. I mean, and he's also made that very clear. He's hemming and hawing a little bit on don't ask, don't tell. You know, there are. And I believe in my heart of hearts that he's the first president who that's in office that believes that we should be treated equally. But is he a gay rights advocate? No, most certainly not. Absolutely not. Right. No. And the GLBT community needs to understand that, which I think they do now. They didn't before, which is part of the reason he got elected.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I was sort of like, I was like the boy who cried wolf. I kept running around going, are you listening to what he is? Anyone listening to what this guy is saying? But, you know, we were so fed up with Bush, and we were in such a strange place of like, please, somebody help me out of this dark closet of hatred and vomit that we just, you know, we would have gone anywhere for the guy.
Yeah.
You know, Andrew Sullivan doesn't like him either.
Yeah.
And I have my problems with Andrew Sullivan, but he wrote a really interesting article not too long ago on his blog. I think it was last week or something, and he was talking about this very thing, about how, you know, the only people – and Larry Kramer says this too. The only people that we can count on are us. Mm. That's it. Mm. We have no – even Barney Frank can only do so much.
Well,
so,
Barney Frank was like, why are you protesting? Why are you marching on Washington? I mean, but we're SOL if we can't count on anybody but the GLBT community. I mean, we need our straight allies. We need our straight allies to see this as a civil rights issue. We need our straight allies to go to bat for us, with us. Don't you think?
I agree with – absolutely. But I think – I think absolutely. And I think the problem is that what we're doing is we're forgetting that there is strength within our own community to reach out to these people, as opposed to what we're doing now, which is reaching out to these people first and forgetting about the core strength that is us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something we've always done.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Our community, unlike any other minority, is filled with a very particular sexual shame. And that, and then you add, you know, you and I have talked about this a lot of times, but you add in the male factor. When people say gay marriage, they mean two men. Mm-hmm. They don't mean lesbians. They don't care about lesbians. They mean two men. So you have to add in the gender factor and the sexual factor, and our community is heaped with shame and humiliation and degradation and embarrassment and self-loathing. Mm-hmm. So we never go to each other first. We always reach out first. Mm-hmm. And I think we're finally waking up, because Obama is hemming and hawing. And I think we're finally looking towards each other and going, hey, maybe we should do something for each other and do this ourselves. What do you think?
Yeah.
I mean, the March on Washington was a perfect example of that.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, it's been really interesting that in less than, you know, in almost a year, because I believe it was last November when we had the big march, the march was here, and I'm sure California had one as well, and New York did, the big Prop 8 march, where in Chicago, you know, it started, you know, downtown in a contained area, and then they were like, you got to let these people march. I mean, it was kind of a Harvey Milk moment. And we ended up marching up Michigan Avenue and stopping all traffic and down Oak Street. And I'd never been a part of anything like that since I had lived in Chicago. And I feel like from that moment to where we are right now and the urgency and the fire under the feet of him, I think it is accelerating, and I'm happy to see it. And I hope we just all stay loud and vocal. And I say the best thing that he could do, and I've said this and I'll say it again until people are tired of hearing me say it, but, and Mitchell agrees with me, is the best thing he could do would be to absolutely make an executive order and repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell, so people can start talking about gays in the military and they'll take the conversation off healthcare so he can slide some shit through and get stuff done that they need to get done without all the blocks. I mean, I'm happy to be, you know, the diversion for the crazy Berthas and the radical right. Like, let them get fixated on gays in the military so that something can happen with healthcare and some of these other issues. I'm happy to be the diversion.
Yeah.
He doesn't need Congress. He does not need Congress to repeal.
No, that's right.
And everybody keeps saying, Well, everybody keeps saying that, like, it's a timing thing. It's a timing thing, and we all need to take the pressure off of him.
Oh, baloney. Oh, baloney.
I don't think that's true.
Crap. That's just a bunch of bull. I am so sick and tired of hearing this political hoo-ha about timing. Frickin' do it. Yeah. Stop. Get off your candy ass and take a stand.
Yeah.
For the love of God. You know, I got to tell you something. It's so funny because I keep thinking to myself – and. I keep thinking to myself, don't these people must have better things to do. They must than to sit around and continue to squelch the gay movement. There are hundreds of fires burning in the United States, and they're putting so much money and a lot of money and a lot of energy into squelching this movement.
Right.
I just have to think to myself, one of these days, 30% of these people are going to wake up and go, I'm done. I don't care what these people do anymore. I don't like them. I don't want them around my kids. But I'm staying loud, because the louder we get, the more obnoxious we get.
Yeah. Yeah. It's totally, totally true. I lost you for just a second there, but I think that Di can edit that together.
I like it when you lose me.
I know. I lost you for just a second. Hey, I want to take a break real quick and do some news. Plus, Richard Knight Jr. today is going to give us a review of Where the Wild Things Are, the new Spike Jonze film. And is it appropriate for kids or just grown-up kids? And we're going to tell you what's going on in the theater scene. And then we'll be back. Alexander Billings has some theatrical endeavors to tell us about as well. So all that after this.
Hi there. I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
And I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
You know, most people know that Miller Lite tastes great, but up until now, only brewmasters like me knew why.
Well, most people know that my friends and I are the most dominating presence in the Kalamazoo Western Division Level 3 Softball League, but very few know why.
Huh. You see, we add the hops first for flavor, second for balance, and a third time to lock in the great Pilsner taste by enhancing the foamy head.
Yeah, well, we don't need fancy softball strategery to win.
We call it the triple hops brewing process.
Well, we call it heart, Mr. Man.
We're on the same team here. I thought you would appreciate this new information.
I apologize. I just wish I had something as important to share.
Well, buy a six-pack of Miller Lite and you will.
Miller Lite brewmasters have to know the ins and outs of triple hops brewing. The only thing you have to do is enjoy the great-tasting light beer. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News.
San Francisco City Supervisor Bevin Dufty has officially declared his candidacy for mayor. Dufty, age 54, is aiming to be the first openly gay mayor in the city's history. Current Mayor Gavin Newsom's term will expire in January of 2012.
The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has provided $1.9 million to the National Youth Advocacy Coalition. This money will provide capacity-building assistance to community-based organizations that provide HIV prevention services to African-American and Latino youth.
In New York, an openly gay Queens man is in an induced coma after a brutal October 9th attack the police are investigating as a hate crime. Jack Price, age 49, was leaving a deli when two men beat him and yelled anti-gay slurs. Daniel Ailman, age 26, has been arrested and charged with assault and aggravated assault as a hate crime. The other suspect has yet to be apprehended.
The Westport, Connecticut-based Religious Institute is launching Acting Out Loud, a new resource for full inclusion of GLBT persons in the religious sphere. Acting Out Loud is an online guide for religious leaders who want to take the next step toward full inclusion of LGBT persons and their families in congregational life. The guide is available at www.actingoutloudguide.org.
On her CNN program, The Joy Behar Show, the host wondered if Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano is out. In an exchange with gay writer Dan Savage, Behar asked, isn't she gay? When Savage said that Napolitano has done nothing to advance gay rights. Savage answered, I've never slept with her. Napolitano has repeatedly said she is not a lesbian.
Gay blogger and activist Andrew Sullivan has called for HRC President Joe Solomonese to resign. Sullivan has said that the HRC has 20 years of zero achievement for gay rights in Washington, D.C. Sullivan spoke October 10th at the Equality to End HIV/AIDS rally and vigil in front of the White House, just before President Barack Obama addressed HRC at its annual dinner.
In California, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has signed a measure recognizing May 22nd as Harvey Milk Day throughout the state. The bill requires the governor proclaim May 22nd each year as Harvey Milk Day, and it could encourage public schools and educational institutions to conduct suitable commemorative exercises on that day.
In world news, in France, the Muslim soccer team Créteil Bébel has been banned from the league for refusing to play a gay squad. Earlier in October, Créteil Bébel sent a note to the Paris Foot Gay team saying that religion prevented its members from playing the gay team. However, the Amateur Football League posted on its website that the Muslim squad has been excluded from playing.
In Russia, gays have expressed their disappointment that U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton did not criticize homophobia during a recent visit to Moscow. Clinton helped inaugurate a monument to gay U.S. poet Walt Whitman with Mayor Yuri Lukskov, who has called homosexuality satanic. Gay rights activists hoped that Clinton would mention Russia's anti-gay positions, but she did not.
In entertainment news, in an appearance on The Tonight Show with Conan O'Brien, Oscar-winning actor Jamie Foxx confirmed that a full-frontal nude photo that made the rounds on the internet was a picture of him. Foxx said that the picture was taken for his makeup artist during the filming of the 2006 movie Miami Vice, and that, since the photo was published, his gay fan base has sizably increased. He then gave a shout-out to his gay fans.
Now, just what did that makeup artist need to photograph? In England, almost 4,000 complaints were logged over comments X Factor judge Dani Minogue made about a bisexual contestant after contestant Daniel Johnson changed the gender references in the Jennifer Holiday song, And I Am Telling You I'm Not Going. Minogue, the younger sister of Kylie, said, "Changing a girl's song into a guy's song, but if we are to believe everything we read in the paper, maybe you didn't need to change the gender reference in it," referring to the singer's sexual orientation. Minogue has apologized, and fellow judge Simon Cowell has defended her.
An autopsy report has revealed that Stephen Gately, the 33-year-old singer of the Irish boy band Boyzone, died October 10th of natural causes. Gately apparently died of acute pulmonary edema, or fluid in the lungs, while in Mallorca with his partner, Andrew Coles. Boyzone, which separated in 2000 as its members pursued solo projects, reunited in 2008, the same year its greatest hits album, Back Again, No Matter What, was released.
Ryan Reynolds is going from Deadpool to drag. The muscular actor will go from playing the assassin Deadpool in the eponymous X-Men Origin Wolverine spinoff to an untitled cross-dressing comedy in which he disguises himself as a woman to win his girlfriend back.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Want to take your tennis game to the next level? Midtown Tennis Club wants to send you back to school for its patented instruction program, Tennis Schools. Whether you're a beginner or advanced intermediate, Tennis Schools has a program to fit your game. Enrollment in Tennis Schools starts at only $105 and includes a four-week membership to the Midtown Tennis Club, including access to Midtown's fitness center, practice lanes, and locker rooms, as well as invitations to two tennis parties and instructions from the country's best pros, all starting at $105. That's less than $30 per lesson. Midtown Tennis Club is located in Lincoln Park at 2020 West Fullerton Avenue. For more information, call 773-235-2300 or visit midtown.com/Chicago and just click on the tennis schools link. Who said school can't be fun?
I'm Richard Knight Jr. with another Night at the Movies Minute. Spike Jonze, the clever director of Being John Malkovich, adaptation and a host of music videos, brings forth his most personal film, a long-overdue screen version of Where the Wild Things Are. Based on the children's classic book from outwriter Maurice Sendak, in addition to directing, Jonze has co-written the film adaptation of the 10-sentence book with novelist Dave Eggers. The film moves away from the simple child's fantasy of the book and repositions it as a winning, though rather melancholy, variation on the classic boy and a dog story. Only this time, it's a boy and his monster. Lonely little Max, frustrated by the lack of attention from his divorced mom and older sister, sails away to the unnamed island where the wild things await. They're like big moving shag carpets. You can almost touch their fur and smell them. Jones really makes them come alive. Led by the angry Carol, voiced by James Gandolfini, the wild things proclaim Max their new king. They're a fractious bunch, always picking fights and worrying even in the midst of playing. There's always trouble. Max develops a special rapport with Carol, who takes him on a tour of his new kingdom, and he eagerly takes to the new role of king, but slowly it dawns on the group that Max isn't really a guy with special powers, and eventually Max yearns to return to his own home. It's a tactile, textured movie, very dense and immediate, far, far away from the fantasy of Oz or Hogwarts or other childhood faraway places, and the exhilaration in Where the Wild Things Are is always short-lived. A patina of melancholy overrides the entire movie, helped along by a raft of wistful tunes in the soundtrack. And it's not really for kids, but instead for their grown-up kid parents, moonstruck dreamers, and definitely for those who like to wallow emotionally. Where the Wild Things Are is like the movie incarnation of every sad cafe poetry slam. Kind of like that, too. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Not at the Movies Minute.
I'm here with a cast member of Mel Brooks' brand new Broadway musical, Young Frankenstein.
Nah.
First of all, may I just say that you look fabulous. Mel Brooks' last show, The Producers, was a smash hit on Broadway and won a record 12 Tony Awards.
Mm-hmm.
This must be a huge break for you.
Nah.
Can you give us just a little taste of the show?
Blurry!
Lovely. Now, is it true you make fierce love to Dr. Frankenstein's fiancée, Elizabeth? I see. So tell me, sir, what do you do to prepare for a show? Any special routines? Do you stretch and warm up? Get in touch with your character? Maybe relax, meditate, light a few candles? Oh, right. Skip the candles.
The classic Mel Brooks movie is alive and headed to the Cadillac Palace Theater. Young Frankenstein, November 3rd through December 13th. For tickets, call 800-775-2000 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of October 19th, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Catch the new comedy critics are calling a rowdy tribute. Plans 1 through 8 from Outer Space by New Millennium Theater Company, playing Friday and Saturday nights through October 31st at the National Pastime Theater, 4139 North Broadway. Aliens are taking over the Earth, one plan at a time. For tickets, visit nmtchicago.org.
Writers Theater presents Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, directed by artistic director Michael Halberstam. Hamlet, Shakespeare's greatest drama, is retold from the perspective of his schoolmates. Experience the original breakout hit from four-time Tony Award winner Tom Stoppard. Tickets are selling quickly. Order yours today by logging on to writerstheater.org.
About Face Theater presents the XYZ Festival of New Works, now through November 7th at venues all over Chicago. Festival productions include The Flowers by Obie Award-winning playwright Adam Bach and Let Them Eat Cake by legendary performance artists Holly Hughes and Megan Carney. Get tickets and information for the XYZ Festival at aboutfacetheater.com. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hey, pigs! This is Judy Tenuta, the Mom Goddess, and you're listening to Queercast. It makes my hormones slam dance. It could happen.
Theater's getting stronger. Theater's getting longer, too.
Alex,
What?
Week after next. Are you going to be in a movie theater on October
28th? Why?
I don't know. Do you think this is it? Do you think this Michael Jackson film is going to be all the craze for 2 weeks?
Yeah, I do.
Are you going to go see
it? You know, I'm not. And here's why I'm not. Oh, God. It's so insane. I'm not. Because if Michael Jackson wanted a film of his rehearsal and wanted it shown in movie theaters, he would have done that. He would have said to his producers, hey, by the way, can you film this rehearsal and then put it out?
Well, he actually did. The reason they're going to have so much footage is they were making a DVD.
They were making a DVD, but the rehearsal is what I'm talking about. The
rehearsal they were making a DVD of the whole process of this tour. Like,
that's right.
Kind of like Madonna's Truth or Dare, which was the behind the scenes.
But they did not. Madonna had artistic control over the final project. She was able to look at the final project and go, no, you're not showing that. Yes, 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 yes. This man is dead. He has no artist. And from what we know of him, he was the ultimate, the penultimate perfectionist.
Mm-hmm.
And they have taken all of this.
Penultimate doesn't need the most ultimate. So you mean the ultimate.
I mean the ultimate.
Yes.
My vocabulary is really screwing
tonight.
No, it's
okay. That's a very misnomer. A lot of people think the penultimate is the very tip, tip, top, and it's actually the opposite. So I just want to
What does penultimate mean then?
Well, would you like the real definition?
Yes, I would. I'm going to look it up.
I'm going to look it up.
I'm online. I'm seriously going to look it up.
I am.
I always thought that's
I'm looking it up right now. It is the last, but one in a series of a things. The second to the last. So that's why I was saying you meant like the first, the greatest, the highest. And it's actually...
That is what I meant.
Yeah, it's actually...
Do you know I've been using that word wrong for like 550 years?
That's okay. So many people say often, and it's not often either. It's often. So there you go. That's really
my only
pet peeve, though. I don't have a pet peeve if people say penultimate. It just doesn't mean... The ultimate.
Next to the last, the penultimate scene of a play.
There you go.
Isn't that interesting? I did not know that.
You get to learn facts here on the Queer Cast. That's really what we're about.
Oh, you know what's so interesting is that, you know, it's like going to school with you, Amy.
It is.
It's like being in school.
It is.
Anyway, the penultimate ultimate is not the... to deal with what he
But you just think it's a disservice because he doesn't have any artistic control over the vision
absolutely.
Of the whole thing.
I think it is the height of greed, and it's the whole thing just disgusts me.
Well, let me ask you this though. Would you think with how much time and energy he had put into this and from all accounts they said that there were things he was going to do in concert with the design, the staging that had never been done. Do you think he did not want those ever to be seen? Do you think he would have wanted them never to have been seen and experienced?
I have absolutely no idea. None of us have any idea. And that's why this is so wrong, because none of us know. He's not here to tell us.
Yeah.
The whole thing is so crazy and so awful. And I'm mortified that anyone's going to this thing.
I'm going to go. It's only going to be shown for 2 weeks.
Oh, no, it won't. It'll come out on DVD eventually.
Well, it will
and
come
I think
out
it's
on DVD.
Terrible.
But if you want to see it in the movie theater, it's only going to be in the movie theater 2 weeks. If they really wanted to make gazillions of dollars, they would let it run for as long as it ran.
Oh, no, 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 no. They absolutely would not. This is brilliant strategy. What they're going to do is they're going to pack these places and make 10 times as much money as they ever would if they ran it for months and months and months. This is brilliant strategy, because then what they'll do is they'll put when the DVD comes out, it'll have extras on it that you didn't get to see in the theater. The whole thing is just awful. I think it's terrible. And I think I could be wrong about this, but I have a feeling that part of the family's behind this. I just think it's terrible. I think it's awful. I'm disgusted by the whole thing. People won't even let him rest now that he's dead. I think it's just. The man was so ill for so long. Yeah. He suffered from you know, one of the worst diseases, and I've had hundreds of them. He suffered from one of the worst diseases possible, and they're just exploiting him all over again. I just think it's terrible.
What is the worst disease that he suffers from, then, you think?
Addiction. He was a drug addict.
Oh, okay. Okay. Just getting clear, because he had vitiligo and a lot of other things too, so I just wanted to make sure.
He had gonorrhea.
I just wanted to make sure. All right, so you will not be going, and you know what? You'll be too busy anyhow, because you are up to your eyeballs in your own performances starting in November. You are going to be making your nightclub debut in Los Angeles. What is taking you so long, my lady?
Because there's two nightclubs in the entire Los Angeles area, and one of them is the Gardenia Room, where they charge $150 a person. And the second place is this place.
What is it? Tell me about this nightclub.
It's called Sterling's, and it's upstairs at a restaurant called Vitello's. And one of the reasons it's so famous is because it's the place where Robert Blake shot his wife.
Really? Really?
Yeah, isn't that fantastic? I'm so excited. I don't even know what's...
Are you going to make jokes about that during your act?
Oh, are you kidding me? That's my whole act.
Yeah. It's not your whole act.
Well, pretty much, yeah.
So what kind of show are you going to be? When is this? When are you performing?
It's Sunday night, November 15th.
Yes. And obviously people can get information about that at alexanderbillings.com.
Certainly.
But what is the show going to be? I mean, is it going to be a whole new show, or are you bringing to Los Angeles some of the great moments that your Chicago audiences will know? I guess that's a nice way of saying, are you retreading for L.A.
Yeah,
or are you bringing up something new?
Basically, what you're saying is, have you learned a new song, bitch, or what? That's
what I'm basically saying is, can we come and can we do your hand gestures for Let the River Run with you?
Yes, you can. Yes,
like,
you
like going
can.
To Rocky Horror, you know, or
yes.
I don't know, somewhere where it's, you know.
Yes,
where
you
we
can.
We can be a part. The audience can be a part of the fun.
That's right. It's like 3D cabaret.
Yes.
And you don't even need those glasses.
No, seriously. What are you doing? What are you excited about? I mean, obviously, you're going to tell new stories because you're in L.A. and your life's been very different the past couple of years.
It's true. I tell you, know, and that's it. It's just me doing some shtick and telling stories and singing songs. I did learn one new song, though, Amy.
You did?
I actually have a new song. Yeah.
Wow.
So I have one new song. But, I mean, it'll be new to the people in L.A. They've never heard it before.
Yeah.
So what do they know? They don't know anything.
It's all new. You know, Liza and Judy and even Michael Jackson, you know, it's not like they did new songs all the time. You know, their songs are their songs. Maybe you could do like a little tribute to
Michael Jackson impersonation. You just treaded right over it. I did it.
I know.
Not
you.
Me.
You're very good. I want you to do a Michael Jackson tribute in your...
That's it?
That's your tribute?
My tribute.
Do you have a favorite Michael Jackson song, or would it be a Jackson 5 song?
Oh, I love the Jackson 5. I love ABC. I still love ABC. I still play that song all the time.
Yeah.
I love Man in the Mirror. I think that's a glorious, fabulous song.
Mm-hmm.
I love Black and White. I love that song.
Mm-hmm.
I actually love Smooth Criminal. Not a lot of people loved that song, but I thought that was a great song.
No, I love Smooth Criminal. That's the one Kelly walks around our house all the time going, Annie, are you okay? Annie, are you okay? Are you okay, Annie? And if you know my girlfriend, that's very, very funny.
That's genius.
Makes
me happy.
Makes me happy, too. Something else that makes me happy is one of my favorite Tennessee gay people. Leslie Jordan, a.k.a. Beverly Leslie, on Will and Grace, who is from Chattanooga, Tennessee. And last time I interviewed Leslie, we discovered that his daddy and my daddy knew each other.
Oh, you're kidding.
Oh, yeah. Or they knew all the same people. My dad knew It's a crazy weird world. Like my dad, actually, my uncle who died just a couple of years ago, my dad's baby brother and Leslie's father were in a barbershop quartet together.
What?
Yes, it's a crazy small world.
How the hell did you figure that out?
Because my dad figured it out because he says Leslie looks exactly like his father. And my dad was watching Will and Grace and knew that I interviewed him and knew he was from Chattanooga because articles have been written on Leslie in our, you know, around our hometown. And more than likely, my mom, Virginia, would be like, Leo, look at this. Look at this, you know, look at this actor on the Will and Grace who's from Chattanooga. You know, my mother is, you know, is the Access Hollywood for my father.
Mother is fantastic.
And so anyhow, so my dad, last time I was going to interview him, said, ask him if he's so-and-so's son and if blah, 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 blah. And so I did. And he was. So
that's hilarious.
All these connections. So you, Leslie, is obviously an Emmy Award-winning actor, and he has got a new show called Full of Gin and Regret, Leslie Jordan, Full of Gin and Regret, which I love him, and I love his story. And he's, of course, been to Chicago, and our listeners are from all around, so maybe he's come to you. I know he's taken the show to New York, and he's done it at his former show in L.A. and Atlanta. But you're going to be a part of this show that he's doing in December. How did that happen? And what are you going to be doing with Leslie?
I'm going to be trying to make him taller, which is a very – no. He and I share the same manager, mm-hmm. Strange enough. And he – Billy Miller. And Billy just called me one day and he said, look – how would you like to, you know, do a little thing with Leslie and just sort of open his show and sing a couple songs and tell some jokes and la la la. And I was like, okay. And we sort of chatted and, you know, we've known each other and Leslie and I keep seeing each other like for the past like 3 or 4, we kept ending up at these either parties or openings of something or something like that. So we have this weird friendship in the sense it's like, oh my God, I love you and so good to see you and how are you, honey? And I'm fine. What's new? And oh, nothing. What are you doing? Not much. Okay, see you later. And that's pretty much been our relationship.
Yeah.
And so then we kind of got on the phone and we were like, yeah, you want to do this? And he was like, I'd love it. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm just singing. Like I come out and I open for him. I sing 2 songs and then tell some jokes and then I introduce him. And so that's pretty much what we're doing for 2 weeks, I think, in December.
That's so fun. I want to come and see it.
Yeah, all right.
I want to come out.
Well, you promised you were going to come for Thanksgiving and then you pooped out. So I don't trust you.
I'm going to come in December. I'm going to come. Well, I might want to come before and see your little nightclub act, but I might have to come out and see you and Leslie. I might have to see that. I have just heard that he is about to be in a movie that is not out yet with my girlfriend from the previous segment, as we were discussing before the news, that he's in the new film Love Ranch with Helen Mirren. So perhaps he can really help make that happen since it didn't happen. The love connection did not truly happen in downtown D.C. in the way that it should have. But I think maybe some help from the Love Ranch might make it happen. I think she plays a madam of the first legal brothel.
She's a hooker.
I love her.
I love her too. I love her.
Love her.
My favorite thing about Helen Mirren was when she won the Oscar. She won the Oscar and I'll never forget this. And she runs up on stage and she's holding the Oscar, you know, with the dress and the boobs and the hair and the smile and the skin, just fantastic looking. Mm-hmm. And she's out of breath and she goes, oh my God, I was so frightened I was going to fall ass over tits up the stairs.
I know.
The best thing anyone's ever said at any award show ever on the planet.
She's so lovely. She's so lovely.
Good. And she's so talented and gifted, and she's just great. She's everything you want her to be.
I just think she's sexy. Because, you know, I really don't even care about all the rest of it.
Yeah. No, I know you don't. Just because you're a hooker. But, you know, she worked for years in this business. And I mean in the theater and mm-hmm. Broadway and London, the West End for years and years and years before she sort of, you know, did her little fabulous TV show and started winning all these, you know, Emmys and stuff like that. And then America kind of went, well, who's that? And yeah. And it's so interesting because then she came to America and became this huge, huge star. And everybody kept calling her this overnight success. And she's like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. You know, I mean, she was like, yeah. What? I've been working for, you know, since 1920. Well, she's not that old. But
yeah, no, I mean she might, really, you know, she... I mean, I have to tell you that her, she has a, her autobiography is out and
oh, is it really? Oh, I'd love to get that.
Yeah. Kelly bought it for me for Christmas, last year. And it's really a great book because it's, I think it's called like, In the Frame, and it's a lot of photographs. Oh. But it's really her. I mean, she wrote the whole thing and she shares all these photographs and, but yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, her life began with the RSC, the Royal Shakespeare Company and Peter Brook and, doing a ton of theater. And, you know, she was lovers with Liam Neeson when he was very young, when he was a young kind of student or trouncing the boards there in London. And, you know, and I think like one of her really first big American films was White Nights, which is where she met her soon to be husband. But, you know, she's a marvel. It is true. So Leslie Jordan getting to work with the great Dame Helen Mirren.
Yeah, bless their little hearts. Hey, can I change the subject completely?
Yes, you can.
I need to speak about this because this is what I need to speak about. So the balloon boy.
Yes.
Okay. Here's what I need to say to you.
All right. We're going to wrap up with the balloon boy, but.
Okay, good. Because here's what I need to say. That little kid and his brothers need to be taken out to a shed and beat. And then the parents need to be thrown in jail. That whole family is a bunch of homophobic, awful, horrible people. And here's the thing. I don't know if anyone has seen this yet, but there's a video. If you haven't seen it, go to YouTube and type in Heen Boys. It's spelled H-E-E-N-E Boys. They have a homemade video, the three of them, where they're doing this rap video where they say, I hate gay faggots. I kill them with a bat. I throw a rock at a faggot and I'll put him up against a tree. It is the most vile, disgusting thing. Oh, yeah. So here, and you know, it was funny because when the balloon was going up and the whole nation was going crazy, Chris Ann was in the living room and I came in and I didn't know what was going on. I was working in my office and I came out. And she said, this little boy is blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, how do you get in the balloon? I don't know, but blah, blah. And I'm like, wait a minute. This doesn't make any sense. And it sounds really fishy. So I knew something was up to begin with. And now we're not only discovering that these parents are complete idiots, but these children are nightmares. Mm. So everyone who's listening needs to go on YouTube and you need to type in Heen Boys. And I think it's called something like Pussified America or something. It's some awful, awful, terrible title like that. You won't believe it. I needed to say that.
Wow.
Because I needed to get it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I'm baffled I'm not baffled that you and I are talking about Balloon Boy, but I'm baffled that the world is talking about Balloon Boy. Can I just say that? Like, I just want to know what's wrong with journalism today. I mean, you and I are not purporting to be hard journalism, but the fact that it's on Good Morning America, The Today Show, Larry King, I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I don't know.
There's no such thing as journalism anymore, Amy. Everything is turned into commentary. There are no journalists either on Fox News or on CNN. They don't exist. Yep. Everything's about commentary because reality television has taken the human experience and turned it inside out. I mean, it's one of the reasons this Balloon Boy thing happened in the first place, because the parents who were on a reality TV show wanted to get another gig. So they staged a stunt that was, you know, went wrong because the kid spilled the beans. And so our whole if Walter Cronkite or David Brinkley tried to get a job as young anchors, news anchors now, they couldn't.
Yeah. No, it's true.
Because first of all, the cadence of their voice. And second of all, because they'd have to put in their personal opinions.
Yeah.
And that's everyone across the board. That's Rachel Maddow. That's Anderson Cooper. Well, Anderson Cooper may be a little.
I was about to say, Anderson is very different than Rachel. I mean, Rachel is an editorialist, as is Chris Matthews, as is. I'm just saying that these news. I mean, not that I think Good Morning America is news. It used to be when I used to watch Good Morning America, I'm not awake anymore at that time of day. Or if I am, I'm playing tennis. But you know, it used to be like, you know, those morning shows kind of had like what you and I do, like the banter and what's going on. And then they turned to a newsman to do the news. And it was like hard journalism news. And then we went back to like, let's bake a cake with four kinds of fruit. You know, I mean, they would do something that, you know, the husband, I mean, this is so gender stereotyped, but you knew the husband was going to work and the kids were probably to school. And then the last little segment was for the women. Mm-hmm. You know, we call those shows now Martha Stewart, or now they're not within the same show as they used to be, you know. I don't know.
I don't know either. But quite frankly, I wish Balloon Boy had stayed in his goddamn balloon.
Yeah, I think we're at end times. We're in end times, folks.
The world is coming to an end.
The world is coming to an end. Well, the show's got to come to an end. Alex is going to be back with us on the next show. I'm super excited about the next show. We're going to be talking about a topic that I haven't talked about in a long time on the Queercast. Used to talk about regularly on Lesbi Gay Radio. It's a new documentary out. I have the writer and director here on the Queercast, Kai Dickens, and it is called Fish Out of Water, and it is really tackling head-on the debate between Christianity and homosexuality. That's all on our next show, and Alexandra Billings will be here with us. So we'll say goodbye for now, because it's late, at least in Chicago, and we'll be back with Alexandra Billings and myself later on this week. So download the next show, folks. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.